Wild cheers go up from the congregation because I'm pretty happy about that. And then the Holy Spirit comes and he lives the Christian life through us. I learned early, God, I can't do this. And he said, good. Now I can do it through you. And so we've learned that it's a supernatural ministry. We learned that the first thing that he did was send the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to the church. In John chapter 7, he described the ministry of the Holy Spirit as a river of living water. That was the gushing, overflowing, not just this little quiet stream that flows through, but a gushing, overflowing, a river actually so full that it overflows its banks. That's who the Holy Spirit is, inside of you and inside of me, a rushing, mighty river if you've received Christ. He was sent by Jesus to give everything we need to be victorious. We sang about our defense and the victory that we already have the victory. We just have to learn to walk in it and allow the Holy Spirit to make it real to us. Everything that we have to be successful, to even be filled with faith, to be overcomers. You are equipped for every situation that comes your way. Everything that comes, you are already equipped for. Romans 9 says that it's impossible to personally know God unless you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. And so if you've come to that moment, which I believe we all have come to that moment where you gave your life to Christ, you surrender to his lordship. That's the deal right there, isn't it? It's just not we walk to the front, we receive Christ, somebody prays a prayer with us. It's the next step is, Lord, I surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. That when he tells me this, when I have to get rid of this, when this has to go, when I have to do this and go here, God, I surrender to that. Because he's Lord of my life. Someone said if he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all, right? So he can't just be Lord in the circumstances that you think are going to make you happy, but he's Lord of everything. And so the Holy Spirit permanently moved into your heart, permanently, forever and ever. And so we need him to influence our lives, which means spending time with him. You can't separate Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus needed partnership with him in order to accomplish his calling. And his promise was that he would send the Holy Spirit. Remember, he is the Comforter. He's our partner. He's our teacher. And he wants to bring things to remembrance. That's what we talked about last week. So, in the midst of all that, 5 weeks, in the midst of all that, we really have only scratched the surface, haven't we? Of talking about the Holy Spirit. We've gotten some knowledge, hopefully some impartation of the Holy Spirit, because when we get knowledge about the Holy Spirit, not only is it a wonderful thing, but it's our responsibility then to walk and to move out in the things that we've learned. And so we've learned some stuff about the Holy Spirit and the ministry. Now, this morning we're going to talk about three more things, which we'll close off. Next week, Pastor Tim is going to be with us here, and he's going to come. So we'll just change the flow of things a little bit and then on to something else. But in the midst of all that, it's the Holy Spirit. Amen? Even though we're not talking about him, even though we're not reading and studying, I want him to be real and alive. I want you every morning when you get up and say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life today. I want us to learn about, not just with a head knowledge about the Holy Spirit, what he does and all of these things, what his ministry is, but I want him to be real to us because it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who does these things. And so we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about, I apologize, I should have had a PowerPoint, but I do not. We're going to talk about the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about not grieving the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to talk about the glorifying ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so possibly the hard thing first, Ephesians 4, verse 30. Father, thank you for your word that doesn't return void to you. Thank you that we said and we sang that we're just open to you this morning. We said we want to hear your voice. So Holy Spirit, we give you free rein in this service this morning. I pray that for these next little while that there would be a fresh anointing upon my life as I preach your word this morning. God, open our ears, our hearts to you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed unto the day of redemption. And so I don't think any of us want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so it's important to know what the Bible says about grieving the Holy Spirit. When I know about grieving the Holy Spirit, then I can avoid it. It's like if I don't know the rules, then I really don't know how to play the game, right? And so God is giving us a rule, if you will, even though as modern people, we don't like rules, we don't like authority, we don't like to be told what to do. But the Holy Spirit is saying, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And so the word grieve is a word that describes pain or someone who's wounded or has been wounded by someone else. It could be a feeling of being deceived, being lied to, being misled, hurt, wounded, abused. All of that comes in the context of grieving, the grieving process. I'm sure there's not a person in this room who some way along the road has been grieved by something. So it's kind of a heavy word, isn't it? It doesn't just mean don't be sad about this. Don't make the Holy Spirit sad. It's stronger than that. It's bigger than that. Don't grieve. Don't wound the Holy Spirit. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Even don't abuse the Holy Spirit. All of those things. And so they're all portraits of emotions and feelings that describe being hurt, wounded, and grieved. So when our relationship with the Holy Spirit, say Holy Spirit. So you remember, he's part of the Trinity. You can't separate the Godhead. Three in one, they're part of the Trinity. But they have different roles. God has a role. Jesus had a role, has a role. And the Holy Spirit has a role. All the three working together in one. So what we need to have, we have a relationship with Father God, most of us. We know about Father God, and we go to Father God, you know, when we go to Father God, right? And then we know about Jesus. We know that he died on the cross. We know about his blood, his body. We know what he did. But generally speaking, we know quite little about the Holy Spirit. It's just like he's an afterthought sometimes. But we need to have a relationship with all three of the members of the Godhead. We need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He needs to be number one priority in our lives. And we need to let other things let him take his rightful place and let other things have their rightful place. And so we need to understand that when we are not in relationship with the Holy Spirit, it grieves him, it hurts him, it wounds him. He lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit, the power of God Almighty, lives inside of us. And when we yield our hearts and our souls to what the Bible calls worldliness, I think we've related that word to kind of an old-fashioned. I never hear anybody saying, oh, they're a believer, but they're so worldly. My mom used to say those words, and as I grew, I thought, well, like, what does that mean anyway, worldly? So I'm going to help us this morning, I hope. Because when we allow worldliness to come into our lives, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And so he's the one who lives inside us. He leads us. He guides us. He teaches us. Remember, he reminds us. He comforts us. He seals us. He sanctifies. He empowers us. And he works to produce the character of Jesus Christ in us. He's been sent to reveal the will of God, which is the mind of Christ. And he gives us victory through the cross that has been won through Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is here for us. Why has he been sent? He's been sent to empower us. David, can I just pray for you for a minute? Can I just pray for you? You seem to be struggling a bit. You all right?
I was thinking about my friend Cam.
Okay, let's not go there right now. Just let me
pray for you, okay? Father, I pray for David right now. I speak a peace into him. Lord, whatever's burdening him, whatever this thing is on him right now, Lord, if he's burdened for his friend, Holy Spirit, we ask you to take this burden right now. And I speak peace to David's heart right now. I speak a peace in the name of Jesus. Peace. Let your peace come. Holy Spirit, be your comforter. Be your comforter in David's life today, Holy Spirit. Thank you for this man. Thank you for the way that he loves you. Thank you that he's not a mistake, Holy Spirit, that he loves you. Father, thank you for planting him in our family, that we love David. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just bless him now and give him peace? Your peace reign in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, David. Thanks for letting me pray for you. Peace of God is an awesome thing, isn't it? So we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. You know what it's like to be ignored, right? You come into a room and maybe your family's all there and they're all chatting. Nobody says hello to you. And so that spirit of rejection can just kind of rise up within you and you walk off and you go in the other room. And, you know, did you ever sing the little song, "Nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I'm," what's the rest? "Going to the garden to eat worms." Well, that's what I used to sing anyway. I never actually acted upon that, but occasionally there were feelings like that. So we know what it's like when we're ignored, or when we're a parent or someone in authority and there's disobedience, and not only once, but over and over again. So that grieves us. And when we do those things to the Holy Spirit, when we ignore the leading, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, no matter how simplistic it may come, no matter how quietly that voice may come, that might be saying, you know, you need to contact somebody, phone them, text them, just give them a word of encouragement. And when we don't do that, we need to recognize that that grieves, that that wounds and hurts the Holy Spirit when we just ignore him. It's like you being ignored. When you come into a room, when you go to a place, when you think people love you and they sing songs about you, but they never, when they go home, that's the end of it. They never call you. They never talk to you. That grieves us. If, as human beings, those kind of things grieve us. The disobedience in someone grieves us. It hurts us. It wounds us. It is the same with the Holy Ghost. And we can grieve the Holy Spirit. If we can't grieve the Holy Spirit, God would not have written it in the Word. It's very strong Greek language. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And so here are some things before and after that verse in Ephesians that talk about grieving the Holy Spirit and what grieves him. It says in verse 25 of Ephesians 4, "Put away lying." When you lie, it grieves the Holy Spirit. When you don't tell the truth, it wounds the Holy Spirit. It's not just something that, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter. It's just, we call them little white lies. I have no idea why. But lying, Scripture says, I'm not saying it. The Bible says it. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Then verse 26, "Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath." Ever gone to bed angry? Ever let the sun go down on your wrath? Ever been angry with your partner, a person, and you let it settle there? I realize there are times that I can be angry with someone, and yet I can't. Sometimes I'm angry with people that have gone before me. Sometimes I'm angry with people that I barely even know. So how do I make that right? I confess it as sin to God. Otherwise, guys, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Strong word, not, he doesn't really like that, right? He doesn't really. No, it grieves him. It wounds him. Don't give place to the devil. Don't allow the enemy. Put your foot on his neck. And say, no, you're not doing this, because when I allow those words to come, those thoughts to come, when I allow the enemy to tell me that I'm different than what God sees me as, I need to put my foot on him and say, no, because that grieves the Holy Ghost.
doesn't just wound me. It doesn't just affect me. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Are you understanding? Help me. Nod. Look like you're interested. Right? Please. Help me. Okay. Verse 28 says, don't steal anymore. Oh, boy. Well, I have to say it because it's on my heart. If you don't tithe, you're stealing from God. And it grieves the Holy Spirit. The testimonies that you heard today were testimonies of people that bring their tithes and offerings into the storehouse. The testimonies, you might think, why are you sharing about a dress that was half of half price? That's a huge blessing. You know the money that you just saved? You know the money that you just saved? And not only that, you got something free. Hallelujah. Right? Because we give to God, and God blesses. And have you ever thought that, I don't think I'll tithe this week. I just need this little extra, this money. This isn't going to be paid. That's not going to be paid if I bring my tithe. You know, I know it might not be $1 million, but still, God, I really need that $100. I really need that $50, that $20. I really need that. God, what about my gas? I need extra gas. You're stealing from God when you don't bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse. Somebody besides Brock say amen, because that's the truth of the Word of God. Bring all your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, and I'll pour out a blessing. We heard it this morning, that you won't be able to contain those blessings of God. And carry on, Joy. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Wow. Corrupt communication. I can't take the time to go into all these. Study them out as you go. And finally, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know what malice is? Malice is, I might not say anything, but I really wish harm to come to you. That's what malice is. And so all of these things grieve the Holy Spirit. And Paul was not talking to the unsaved. He was talking to believers. He was talking to Christians when he wrote this verse. And that means that Christians were doing all of these things and grieving the Holy Spirit. They were lying. They were holding grudges. They were giving place to the devil. They were stealing, talking evil about each other, giving bitterness a place in their heart, being angry. No wonder the Holy Spirit was grieved. It grieves the Holy Spirit when we allow these things. He felt wounded because of what these believers were doing. So we need to remember that someone, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us. And his name is Holy. That's why he's the Holy Spirit. He's not just the Spirit. He's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, as the church in general, we get away from the holiness of God because of things like this, because the church needs to come on strong against lying, needs to come on strong against tithing. Yes, we do. We shouldn't be preachers. People shouldn't be embarrassed about having to talk about tithing. We shouldn't make apologies. No, we're trying to get you set free, right? He lives inside of us. He is the Holy Spirit. Actually, Romans 1 and 4 calls him the Spirit of Holiness. And so we had not vandalism, but we had our ceiling fall in the church. And when we came in and saw the big hole in the ceiling, when we saw the plaster all over, there's a big hole in the floor over here, it grieved us when we came in. There was an awesome team that just got together and cleaned it up, and we, in faith, had service in church right here, not thinking maybe more might fall in. But it grieved us every time I opened that door, and some of you opened that door and looked in and saw dusty pews and everything all upside down and holes in the ceiling. Many of you opened that door, and sometimes I couldn't even walk in here because it just grieved me so much. If someone was to come in, and next Sunday we came in this place and there was spray painting on the windows and the walls and there was profanity all over and the floor was ripped up and tables were all upside down, it would grieve us, wouldn't it? We wouldn't come in and say, oh my, I wonder what happened here. It would grieve us. There would be a wounding because this is my church. You know, this is the sanctuary of God. And yes, we are the temple. He lives inside of us. But this is his physical being, place made of wood and stone, right? And it would grieve us if something like that happened. That's how the Holy Spirit feels, because we are his temple. He lives inside of me. And when I lie, it's like banging a hole in the roof of a ceiling. When I steal, it's like cheating in this and that. And it's like vandalism all over the walls of my heart and my spirit where he lives. There are things that grieve the Holy Spirit because he doesn't live in buildings. He lives inside of us. So let's not throw garbage in our lives. Let's not drag him through the mud, never thinking that what I'm doing might grieve the Holy Spirit. According to Ephesians 4, the sin that we find most difficulty to resist are usually inward attitudes like grudging, bitterness, anger, malice. And we can't harbor these attitudes in our life, not even for a minute. As soon as we see them coming, we say, Father, forgive me. Cleanse me with the blood. Forgive me, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for pointing that out. Because he's the teacher and he wants to teach you what grieves him. We need to ask, is this attitude going to grieve the Holy Spirit living inside of me? And so we make ourselves aware of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, it helps to change the way we think and live. That's what we sang. So when I come, it changes me, changes everything. When the Holy Spirit comes, he changes me. Let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's make a decision not to do that. Secondly, let's talk about the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit, John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, we learned that he was the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that he will speak, and prophetically, he will show you things to come. John 16:13, underline that in your scriptures. So there's no second guessing when it comes to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus stressed when he continued teaching the disciples about the ministry. You can't second guess the Holy Spirit. So he will show you things to come. The word show means to announce. And actually it describes a vivid showing or a pronouncing of events. And so when we, part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to announce future events to us. When we have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, when we spend time with the Holy Spirit, quiet time, because we need to be quiet sometimes to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And so let me just encourage us that because of the way we worship and the type of worship we have, which is on our phones or our devices, and we play that, oftentimes there's like a 4 or 5 second gap between songs. And so it's easy just to stand and stare and look at the worship team, see if the word's up there, maybe even turn to the sound man. As I told you before, everything is the sound man's fault. As we turn, you know, and no, why don't we just take that, there's just total silence for a couple of seconds even. And we can get a little uncomfortable of that. We don't really know what to do. Just keep saying. Just keep praising. Just keep talking out loud to the Holy Spirit. It's allowed in church. Just stay in that place. Because in order to hear the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit, we need to get still and we need to get quiet. But he wants to announce future events to us. He wants to
He wants us to know what's going to happen, what's going to lay ahead. I'm sure many of us in this room have had the Holy Spirit just give us a little bit of warning. Sometimes I think it's more than we know. Like we'll just, like the other day I was driving and I'm going to say it was the Holy Spirit. I think it was the way my brain sometimes doesn't work. And I just drove the wrong way. But I just started to praise the Lord anyway and said, oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. No mistakes in you. Who knows what I missed going this way instead of the other way. And you might call it stupid. Well, oh well. because you never know what he just spared you from. And you may never know what he just spared you from. But when we are pressed into the Holy Spirit, then he guides us, he leads us, and even, oh, can I really say this? Even our mistakes, they're not mistakes when we've allowed the Holy Spirit into our life. He can take what we think are bad mistakes, and he can make something awesome out of the very thing that we think, that's just so bad, I can't believe I did that. He can take that and he can use it when we allow him. And so he wants to announce future events to us. And sometimes it comes in picture form in our mind. Sometimes we actually see things, like a couple of weeks ago, the Holy Spirit showed me something and I saw four people standing flagging. That's what I saw in the spirit realm. And so sometimes that's one of the ways that the Holy Spirit can speak to us prophetically by using visions. Remember the Old Testament? The prophets were called what? Seers. S-E-E-R-S. People, men and women who saw things. So sometimes we discount that part, that's the prophetic way that the Holy Spirit can move in our life is by the things that he shows us vividly. Inside, he shows us these things. And so it's part of his ministry. In nearly every book in the New Testament, the Old Testament, there's this prophetic forthtelling, revelation. The Holy Spirit showed the Apostle John all of these things that were going to happen. He saw them. He saw them vividly. That's the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy, he was writing under the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit when Timothy said, the end days are coming, and in the last days, this and this and this is going to happen. That's the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit. Who wrote, I know he used men, who wrote the scriptures? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit breathed on people by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I believe it's Hebrews that says. So it's the Holy Spirit who wrote this. So the things that are prophetic in here are written by the Holy Spirit. I want us to see that and understand that, because we need to move into the area of the prophetic in a greater degree, in a greater way. We need to be able to walk up to someone, be a friend of someone, and say, hey, guess what? The Holy Spirit just showed me this about you. I think I told you about the funeral that I was at and how this person got up and was sharing about their friend, was the only person, very dressed in a, I'll say, very trendy manner, a little, had a hat on, you know, rolled up jeans, stuff like that. But I found out later that it was a girl. The Holy Spirit did not tell me it was a boy or a girl. And I am so thankful I didn't say, son, God has a word for you. Because that would have discounted it right there, wouldn't it? But I just said, can I talk to you for a minute after the service? They were so sweet, so beautiful. They were the only person I've ever heard swear during a eulogy. But she did swear. But what do we expect from sinners? Right? These people have not embraced Christ yet. They don't have the Holy Spirit leading inside them. And so I said to her, can I just talk to you for a minute? So I took her aside and she was so grateful. And I just said, you know, like, I want you to know that this is what God says about you. This is what God thinks about you. And that happened because as that person was speaking and sharing, God just gave me this, downloaded this picture and gave me this word that just rose up within me. I tell you, it was all I could do to sit in my seat and not leap up and say, thus saith the Lord to you. And I said, God, give me an opportunity later. And I spoke with her, and I talked with someone later who knows them, and they said that really impacted her life. She was bawling when I was telling her these things. That's the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we need to operate. We need to allow him to do that part of his ministry, as well as the comforting, the teaching, and all that. But we need the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need to prophesy over our kids, over our families. We need to say, "Thus saith the Lord." God gave me a vision for every one of my children when they were young. Every one of my children. Everyone, God gave me a prophetic vision for them. And I've been praying that over them and watching it come to fruition and come to pass. Announcing future events. That's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just for scripture. It's not just because, oh, here it's written in here. Let me read about the end times. That's the prophetic part. No, it's more than that. It's for you and I for today. Say a hearty amen. And allow, say, Holy Spirit, work that in me. Allow me to let your prophetic ministry flow out to my friends, my family. Prophesy, pray and prophesy. Speak the word of God over your new grandbaby. Speak the word of Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit. You know, once we begin to pray, once we begin to say, oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for this child. I've just blessed them. Then up. Other things come up. Listen, you're in a school situation where you've got children in under your authority. Speak the word of God over them. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you creative ways to speak the word of God over and allow the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 again says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. What Jesus taught was true. There's nothing in the Word of God that is not true. But it's significant that he said the Holy Spirit is going to reveal future events to us. And that's prophetic. He wants to prophetically speak to you. He wants to prepare you for the future. He wants to show you details about your future and your family. He wants you to understand things that are going to come. He wants you to be prepared for those things. And so we open our hearts to that ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then we talk about spending time in the presence of God long enough to get our mind quiet and our hearts to hear. My friend who I just heard speak again on the weekend, Alice Smith, I think most of you know Alice. She had a little granddaughter whose name was Zoe. Zoe in the original language means life. And just about 6 or 8 months ago, make some noise! And 6 or 8 months ago, Zoe had got up in the middle of the night, went into her kitchen, she's 6 years old, screamed, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy," and then went limp, unconscious. She had a bleed in her brain. They rushed her to the hospital. The doctors said she probably would not live even for the next little while, never mind if they operated. And I won't go into her whole story because I want her to come and share it. But Zoe is alive and well. She's walking, talking, in school, in her grade, which is a miracle. She's going to be on the 700 Club. With the doctor who's not a believer, but who believes in miracles, and has said this is an absolute miracle. 1 out of 1,000 survive a brain bleed. And so now Zoe and her mom and grandma go into the hospitals, and they go into the intensive care unit, and they hand little packages out, and they say, "Can we pray with you?" And people were, there's like an atmosphere of, I don't really think I want your prayer. And then a doctor walked through and said, "Zoe? Is that Zoe?" And then he said, "This girl should not be alive. I can't believe you're alive." Went on and on, told about her operation, about her brain bleed, and just said, "She should not be alive. This is an absolute miracle." And then turned and walked away.
And everybody was like, yeah, pray for us, pray for us. But with regards to the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit, 3 years, I believe it was, before Zoe was born, Alice Smith had a vision and a prophetic word from the Holy Spirit that this baby would be born and they were to call her Zoe. Do you realize that every time they said, Zoe, come here, they were saying life. They were prophesying life over her. Realize that when you name your children, my name is Joy. Every time you call out their name, maybe some of your kids need a different name. Hope, grace. You're prophesying, you're speaking those things into their lives, right? Walker, couldn't walk. Had to go around in his little walker. We kept prophesying over him. Walker. Not even realizing what we were saying. He walks and runs and competes in cross-country runs. Because of the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, probably Brock or Rebecca wouldn't say, yes, God told us to name him Walker. Nope. Because sometimes you don't realize that presence of the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, giving names, saying this, doing that. But we, when we go with that, I want to be careful that I don't make it so big that we miss it and that we think, well, God hasn't told me anything. It's those inner urges so oftentimes, isn't it? So it's a little inner, that quiet, still, small voice, just even sometimes a thought that we don't even realize came from God, came from the Holy Spirit. And yet we act on it and the Holy Spirit brings a prophetic word. So the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit, grieving the Holy Spirit, and lastly, the glorifying ministry of the Holy Spirit. John 16:14. Remember I told you to ask you to read those three chapters in the book of John. He shall glorify me, speaking of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit is going to glorify me. He will receive of mine and he will show it to you. And so we need to ask ourselves, do I have a problem expressing myself in worship to God? Somebody asked me the other day, you know, like, why do we wave flags in the church? It's an expression of worship. In the Old Testament, they were armies with banners. So it's an expression of worship when we do that. And then that same person said, you know, I forget what they used, but they said, I waved my tea towel to the Lord today. I'm going to get used to it, and maybe I'll even do it in church someday, you know? And then I related when I used to babysit Madison, and we used to worship the Lord together. We used to play music and sing together, and one time there was nothing there for her to wave, so she just grabbed one of her little dresses and was waving it around to the Lord, you know, just praising the Lord with things like that, glorifying Jesus. And one of the ways the Holy Spirit causes us to glorify Jesus is in as we worship him. And we have to get out of the place where we're self-conscious about our worship. Let's not hesitate in the presence of the Holy Spirit and in the presence of others. Are we thinking about what somebody else is looking at us? Are we wondering, if I walk to the front, will someone think I'm this horrible sinner? If I go to the front and if I raise my hands, there are so many other ways to express worship to God. You know, when we study in Scripture about ways to praise the Lord, there are like so many different ways to praise the Lord. And we're pretty limited in what our inhibitions allow us to do before the Lord. But we need to allow the Holy Spirit to glorify Jesus through our worship. And so as Jesus prepared to depart from the world, he sat in the upper room teaching his disciples about the Holy Spirit and what we've talked about, these different roles. And he stressed that the Holy Spirit would carry out the ministry of glorifying Jesus. He will glorify me, he will receive of mine, and he will show it to you. So the word glorify, actually, this is why I'm linking it to worship, actually means to praise or to magnify
to worship, to give honor, give adulation, express fame or repute. And it actually encompasses the full range of all those emotions and all those meanings. So when Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit shall glorify me," he specifically was saying that he would extol, magnify, glorify, and worship him. So this is a safe place right here in church. Churches should be safe places for us to be exuberant in our worship. You know, times past, I've spoken at ladies' conference and talked about worship and just said, you know, that sometimes we just need to do something different. And I think we've expressed it here as well. Just do something you've never done before. That particular retreat that I'm remembering, I said, let's do something different. Let's eat dessert first. And so when at lunchtime I went out and all the ladies were eating their dessert first. And I thought, this is a great group. They're going to go far. But sometimes we just need to get out of our comfort zone. We're comfortable with raising our hands, but are we comfortable, like we sang this morning, falling face down before the Lord? You sang that. Are we comfortable just moving our chair? Well, I have to move my chair because if I kneel, I can't get up again without my chair. And so are we comfortable kneeling before the Lord? Are we comfortable just maybe during worship just coming and kneeling up here at the altar? Or are we, it's not a criticism, but are we stuck in a place where I'll raise my hands, I'll walk to the front, but let's maybe worship God in a different way. Let's magnify him. Let's extol him. Do you know who this Jesus is that we're worshiping? It's the Holy Spirit's job to do that through you. When we allow the Holy Spirit. And that takes time. That's why we don't just sing one song on a Sunday morning. That's why we worship God with another song. And then we worship. And we keep on worshiping and we keep on praising. Because when we do that, we step into the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we're human beings and it takes time. And it takes practice. Because I've noticed that if I prepare through the week when I come on Sunday morning, the first line of the song I'm in. But I've noticed that if I haven't spent that time, it just takes me just a little bit more time to sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. He will glorify me. So it's, in fact, one of the main roles of the Holy Spirit to give adoration, praise, fame to Jesus. Are we making him famous? In my everyday walk and the people that I meet, am I making Jesus famous? We extol so many famous people, sports people, football players, Hollywood people. We extol them. We drive to places and look at their footprints in cement because we extol them because they're famous. Are you making Jesus famous? On your Facebook page, on those little one-liners that you send out, are you making Jesus famous? Or are we just venting? Or am I making Jesus famous? Am I saying on my Facebook page, we had an awesome church service this morning. There were three people that shared about the blessing of God, and it was so encouraging. Am I making Jesus famous? We have an awesome opportunity with Facebook. It can be a great thing or it can be a horrible thing. You choose. Am I teaching my kids to make Jesus famous? That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do through you and through me. He wants to make Jesus famous. He wants to magnify. If I hold a magnifying glass, well, or my glass is magnified, then this looks bigger. Am I making Jesus bigger in my world? Am I making Jesus bigger? It doesn't mean that we're perfect, but am I making Jesus bigger? Am I saying to the friend or the coworker, you know, yesterday I had a really bad attitude.
And the Holy Spirit really convicted me. And I want to apologize. I want to ask you to forgive me because I kind of vented on you yesterday. I'm really sorry about that. I just made Jesus bigger than my sin, bigger than my failure. The person might say, it doesn't matter. We all have bad days. No, no. But I want you to know that God told me what I did was wrong. I don't know anything about God. So the next time I come and tell them something that God showed me, and the next, they're going to start hearing, God, listen, you know this. You know this. Our world needs a move of God like it's never had before. Christians, we've got to stand up. We've got to start making him, we've got to start extolling him, making him bigger. I don't have the answers of why this, and this is happening. I don't know why your child died. I don't know those things, but I know the comfort of the Holy Spirit that he can give you. That's what I know. And we don't have to have all the answers, but by gosh, we better have some answers. Because our world is in really, really bad shape. Are we making him famous? What a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow one day. I'd rather my friend's knees bow in heaven than in judgment, right? Are we making him famous? To glorify means to exalt that name above every other name. Philippians 2:9. Let me just read that in closing. Philippians 2:9. Did you bring your new Bibles? Yay. Philippians 2:9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, hear how many times it says the name, the name, the name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess the name that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to himself. He points people to Jesus. He's invisible, non-material. He's a spirit being, so he can't glorify Jesus in the way the Lord desires without using you and I as a vessel. Will we be a vessel for the Holy Spirit to use in the ways that we've talked about the Holy Spirit? He lives in you. That's how he fulfills his responsibility, his job description. He heals the sick. He casts out demons. He leads people to a saving knowledge. He uses you and me prophetically. And he magnifies and glorifies Jesus. His very nature is a glorifier, a worshiper. And when he's free at work in your life as a believer, it's obvious because we will glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit seeks to glorify Jesus in every part of your life, including our conversations, our behavior, our relationships. His primary task is to reveal Jesus to you, and he'll take you to Jesus on a level you've never known. He's just waiting for us to surrender, to throw our hands up. That's why we raise our hands. That's why we raise our hands in church. That's why we praise the Lord. A long time ago, I was driving along. Rebecca was driving me, and all of a sudden, I just had this urge. I just stuck my hand up in the air. And Rebecca said, "Who are you waving at?" I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. I'm just praising the Lord." I used to have a sunroof in my car, and I would open it and just stretch my hand way up because I just hardly couldn't keep it down because I just felt the presence of God so strong in my life. We need to take some plunges into some spiritual experiences. And guess what? We'll never be the same again. When those afflictions come, they'll be lighter because I learned to depend on the Holy Spirit. This is what I learned on Sunday morning. So I'm going to prophesy over this area in my life. I'm going to speak life. Maybe you've had a hard time abandoning yourself in worship. maybe today as we sing this last song, worship team, if you'd get ready, if we sing this last song, and maybe we can just be reckless and abandoned before God. Maybe we can just say, Jesus, what a beautiful name. Wonderful, powerful, beautiful, beautiful, strong name of Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit that glorifies him. Why don't you just stand together and let me just close in prayer. As I pray this, maybe you can just say under your breath if any of these things I pray resonate with you. And just say, yes, Lord. Yes, amen. So, Father, I pray, and Holy Spirit, I pray that you would forgive us for grieving you. Forgive us times when we haven't lived properly, when we allowed garbage to come into our lives. We didn't realize until today how much it grieved you. We knew it was wrong. We knew it was sin, but we didn't have understanding that it grieved you. So, Holy Spirit, Jesus, forgive us for that. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives and resides within us. Thank you for the prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit that's raising up stronger than ever before in my life. Holy Spirit, I declare that I'm going to begin prophesying over my kids, over my family, over my workplace, as I drive by places. I'm going to begin speaking your word, Holy Spirit, and I'm going to allow you to raise up a prophetic voice in me, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're a worshiper. And this morning, with reckless abandon, we want to worship Jesus. We want you to draw us to Jesus like we've never been drawn before. And we thank you. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the power that there is in your word, the power that there is in the cross. We bow before you, Jesus, because you're worthy. We fall face down before you because you're worthy. And we allow you, Holy Spirit, to bring us to that place of worshiping the Son of God. And we thank you. God, I pray for the congregation this morning, those that have afflictions. I pray that they will sing, Holy Spirit, that you will empower them to rise above the circumstances that the enemy or just stuff has placed in their lives, God. I pray that we would rise above those afflictions. They are light. We agree with you on that, God. They're light afflictions. And we agree that you're my defender. You're going to carry us through these things, Holy Spirit. Glorify yourself even through the hard things that we go through. Father, I just cover this teaching of the Holy Spirit with the blood of Jesus. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring to remembrance the things that we need. I ask you to teach us and lead us and guide us. Be the comforter. Be our hope, Jesus. Be our hope. Holy Spirit, thank you for living inside us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.